Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word. Here's a Christmas song that I sing every year. I'll sing it again tonight, too. But it's kind of like all of our favorite Christmas songs. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you deliver will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy walked where angels trod? When you've kissed your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame shall leap, the dumb shall speak, the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? This sleeping child you're holding, he's the great You know, I keep going back and forth on whether or not to sing this next song or not. But I'm gonna. It's time we packed our bags and hit the highway. Get on home for Christmas holiday. I'll fall apart when I pull in the driveway. First time home since brother passed away. His favorite time of year was always Christmas. We'd reminisce about the days gone. Oh, how I wish that he was still here with us. My memory of him will never die. When the stockings are hung, silent night has been sung, Christmas is finally here, but it won't be the same. Losing my big brother hurt so badly. It taught me just what Christmas really means. There's nothing more important than your family. Thank God we're children of the King of Kings. But when the stockings are hung, Silent Night has been sung, Christmas is finally here, but it won't be the same this year. When the stockings are hung, Silent Night has been sung, Christmas is finally here, it won't be the same.
Luke chapter 2, Luke chapter 2, and we're going to begin reading at verse 8. Let's pray together before we read the scriptures, shall we? Lord Jesus, we kind of got everything ready. There isn't really much more to do. Got some cooking to do, maybe. But would you help us to pause and just look around and see where we are? May we remember the coming of a Savior. Lord, we ask for a reviving during this time. Thank you for your word and open it to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Beginning at verse 8 of Luke chapter 2. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to him, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel. They just didn't hear them. They saw them. Praising God and saying, quote, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests." Man, that's really an incredible statement. I'm sure you've seen the cars around town. They seem to all have the same bumper sticker. I had one in front of me a couple of weeks ago. The muffler was dragging. And I remember I was laying back, you know, not trying to, well, I don't like tailgating anyhow, but I didn't want to get too close because I was afraid that thing was going to come off, man. You know what I mean? And the sparks are flying where they're going down the road. And the springs on the rear back were gone, so it's got this kind of lean going. The rear deck lid was down with a bungee hook. And I could see, like, well, you can buy duct tape and buy every color you can get. They're not quite exactly the right color. And over all the rust holes, they had that stuff trying to just kind of hold that thing together, you know. All they needed was some chicken wire and that thing would be perfect, you know. But it had this bumper sticker. "This is not an abandoned car." Well, I want you to know that our world is held together with chicken wire and duct tape right now. I mean, when we look at the world and we see these rumors of wars, we look at the political environment of such extreme hatred, we look at who we've lost this year, and we don't speak about it publicly like this, but we think about the husbands or wives that left this year in a Christmas that a family is facing, totally altered because of the choice of somebody. We think of the illness. We think of the accidents. It seems as though the world is abandoned, but I'm telling you, Jesus came here. And when he came here, there must have been a bumper sticker on that old manger that said, "This is not an abandoned world." It seems abandoned. People are living everywhere without hope. They don't know which end is up But here's the wonderful gift. We know. If you had the cure for cancer, how could you keep that to yourself? What a tragedy it would be to know the cure of the greatest disease of all time and not tell others about that. Jesus came, and he came to prove that the world is not abandoned. Broken? Oh, yeah. Messed up? Yes, but not abandoned. And the great question going on throughout our society right now is the argument against a real God, a God who is a creator. And the argument is always, how can a loving God let the world go on like this? How could he let this happen? Well, in spite of all of that, it's not an abandoned world. We know it's not an abandoned world because God sent a Savior. I want you to see something. It's very important you see this, especially this time of year, especially for our lives. God did not send a teacher. The Lord, the Father in heaven, did not send a prophet or a philanthropist. He sent a Savior. He sent the Savior because we're lost. Well, we need to be saved from what? I mean, if you cross over Dixie Highway, on Frembys going over Dixie Highway, there's that high-performance auto, and there's a sweet little old Christian man that owns that, and he's got a cross on the side of his building that says, Jesus Saves. It's been there for 40 years. He just redid the buildings and had that redone. He made it as a sign now on the side of the building. What does all that mean? I remember being a little boy in downtown Pontiac shopping with my mother at Waits and Sears and Roebuck, as they used to call it, those wooden floors in those places. And I remember there, it was fun, and it was before they built the old Pontiac Mall. I remember walking, and I remember a Christmas Eve being down there. My dad was at work, so we had to take a taxi. We only had one car. We took a taxi into downtown Pontiac because Mom had to go to pick up a couple more things, and she couldn't leave us alone, so she had to take the three of us knuckleheads with her. And, I always admire you moms shopping. I mean, dragging those kids out there and doing all that. That's the hardest job in the universe. I don't care what anybody says. But I remember walking down the street, and I could see the old First Baptist Church building. And I really didn't know anything about Jesus very much. I'd been going to Sunday school at the old First Presbyterian downtown, but I didn't get it. I didn't know what it was about. But I remember they had an old lit sign on the end of that building, a neon sign above it all that said, Jesus Saves. Old Dr. Savage was the pastor there in those days. And what does that Jesus Saves thing even mean? Do you remember when God created the world? By the way, there's some people here that actually believe that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There's a novel thought for our society today. We believe it's absolutely true. And when God created everything, he kept saying, oh, it's good. Oh, it's good. Oh, it's good. You remember in Genesis chapter 1? When he gets down to verse 31 of Genesis chapter 1, after everything is created, God says that it was very good. That's a Hebrew word that doesn't come across real well in English, but it is the base word for the Hebrew word shalom, peace. Have you ever gone to Israel? Oh, my buddy Mike just got back. I said, what was it like to be in Israel? He said, Tom, I felt like I was home. Everything I dreamt about and thought about for all these years happened on that ground. He was a changed man after coming back. But he said, everywhere you go, and whatever shop you go in, anywhere, it's shalom. Everybody, shalom. It's all granting God's peace. What happened was, at the end of God's creation, God had put things in order. The world was in harmony with him, and that created shalom, peace. That's what that means. God got it all done, and it was shalom. But something happened. It changed. This word shalom means prosperity, well-being, health, completeness, safety. It's the absolute perfect word for peace. But we know the story from Genesis that the man and woman ran away from the Lord and disobeyed him. And because of that, because of our choices, the human race became cursed. And shalom was destroyed. So, is God at peace with man? No. Is man at peace with other men and women? No. Are humans at peace with their environment, with the earth, with the creation? No, it's all messed up. So God sent a Savior because we had to be saved from that, from the loss of all of it. So the result is broken peace. So now the angels appear. And in Luke chapter 2, their big announcement as the choir of heaven. Glory to God in the highest, and what? Shalom to those on earth who are in his good favor. Something's being restored. What is being restored by a Savior coming to earth? The shalom that was lost at the great fall. That's what we need to be saved from. Let me just say this to you so you understand it very clearly. You cannot save yourself. All humans are lost without Jesus. There is no restoring peace to the human race unless a Savior came. And we know the rest of the story, that he came and his purpose for coming was to die for sinners. The Apostle Paul said it when he wrote to Timothy. Here is a worthy statement, worthy of all acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Don't forget that. This world is not abandoned because he sent a Savior. Second of all, this world is not abandoned because he told us the truth. He died for our sins and was resurrected from the dead, and now we know this incredible truth. Now, you can do what you want to with that truth. When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except through me, he was telling us the exact truth. But are you going to take it or not? Do you remember C. Everett Koop, who was the Surgeon General that was appointed by President Reagan? He had a lot of trouble when President Reagan was trying to get him confirmed because he had done a series of films with one of my mentors, Dr. Francis Schaeffer, a Presbyterian theologian from Switzerland, who put out a series on abortion called Whatever Happened to the Human Race, and the abortionists hated him for it. But he was confirmed and he became the Surgeon General. And his crusade began to be this: cigarettes kill you. And he wanted that put on cigarette packages. They didn't have any warnings before him. It was in the 80s. And he came in and got all that stuff passed and, warning, it's been determined that cigarette smoking is not good for your health. Nobody survives that. It's just a dumb thing to do. Only the advertisers are making the money and the government. But Dr. Koop, that was his big crusade that cigarettes will kill you. And he used to tell the story of a man that he knew. This man told Dr. Koop that he was so sick and tired of reading in the newspaper all these articles about how cigarettes kill people that he decided to do something about it. And he canceled his subscription to the newspaper. Now listen, God did not abandon the world. He sent a Savior. But what you've got to know is that's the only answer. There is not a plan B. I know that seems exclusive. I know that seems like really arrogant to say it, but I didn't say it. God did, and it's true. And so we got to cling to that. I mean, he is the only one who can restore us to order and harmony and peace. Nothing else will do it. Nothing. I love it that one day God said to his son, I want that world back, son. Go get it. And he did, one person at a time, as people come to Christ. I've told you before, but I knew this old preacher. I got so many great old preacher stories of just old guys I've known, and now I've become one of them. Just for all the years, it's just been so neat to know these guys. And I knew this old guy, and he used to have to babysit some Saturdays for his grandson. Both the kids worked and his wife was busy. And so he took the little guy with him to his study at church. Is there a more boring place in the world for a little boy than a place filled with books without pictures? I cannot imagine a worse place than that. But so the little boy's there and he's trying to keep the kid busy and the kid keeps interrupting him. So he says, oh, I know,
I've got a puzzle here somewhere. He looks around, and he has a box of the puzzle of the world. Now, this kid's five, okay? He doesn't know. He doesn't know where Africa goes, okay? This will be great. So he put everything out and said, okay, this is a picture of the world. This is what it's going to look like when you're done. Can you do that for Grandpa? Oh, yeah. So the pastor goes back to his desk, starts working. 5 or 6 minutes. The little boy says, I'm done! He said, how can you be done? He had it all put together. He said, how did you do that? And the little boy said, on the back of the world was a picture of a man's face. And all I had to do was get the man right, and the whole world came together. It's still true. You get it right with this one man, and everything else comes back together. There was a man who had a terrible problem with his wife being a Christian. It was about 1930 out east, Massachusetts. And on a Christmas Eve like this one, she had decided that she was going to go for the Christmas Eve service at the little church, the little congregational church down in their village. It had been built in 1720, that old building. They had it laden with greens. She loved to go and remember the Christ child and sing the Christmas songs. But this old guy had a problem. He didn't understand this God becoming a man thing and what that whole reason was for that. He just didn't understand it. And so he wasn't going to go. This was the Christmas to finally be honest. He wasn't going to play this charade any longer. And he stayed at home, and his wife kissed him goodbye, walked off alone as it began to storm, snowing like crazy. You know New England. For though, they're tough people. They just keep going. So he was sitting in the living room. Lights were on. It's dark outside. Lights were on, and he's watching television in his easy chair, and he hears this tapping on the window, and he turns his lights off and looks outside, and there's a flock of birds that see the open window of his living room, and they're trying to get in. So he says, oh, it's snowing. They've got to go somewhere. So he gets up and puts his coats on. He goes outside, and he goes down to the barn, and he opens the door, and he turns the light on, and they won't move. They stand there in the snow. He turns the light on in the living room. They all start going in there. He turns the light off. They won't even go to the other light. Go to the light. So he says, I know what I'll do. He gets some bread, and he crumbles up bread on top of the snow. And they begin eating some pieces, but as he gets them down to the barn, he looks back, and they're still at the house. They won't leave the house. So now he's frustrated, and he gets out there, and he begins waving his arms. Go, go! Go! And they're flying all over the place. They're not going to the barn. And it occurred to him, if only I could become a bird and tell them how to get in the barn. And he heard the bells ringing down, beginning of that Christmas Eve service. And the light dawned. And when he told the story, he said he fell on his knees in the snow. And he finally understood. This world is not abandoned. He sent a Savior, and he sent a Savior for you. Don't you ever forget it. Let's stand together to pray, shall we? Come on. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for your compassion. Even as we ran away from you, you didn't let us go. Father, I ask that you would please bless all of those within the sound of my voice, that we would understand what you have done for us. And if anybody would be honest, they would see how well this all fits into the real world that we see. There is a brokenness that cannot be described, and the Bible gives us the perfect answer for it. Lord, don't let us throw this away in our ignorance and our arrogance. Help us to hear you this year. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. Merry Christmas. See you tonight. Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.